Hello, FBC. Welcome to this week's Midweek Elder Encouragement. This week, we are discussing 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and Elder John Weiss is going to read that for us.
Okay, starting with verse 6. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world.
Greetings, Sheriff. Pastor Brandon here. These verses are really rich. They've meant a lot to me over this past year, especially. They've been on my mind quite a bit. So I'm going to really try not to hog so many of the thoughts here because I want to hear from you, brothers. But this word contentment seems to be a game changer. And one of the things that I've thought about afresh in this verse is it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And so it made me think, like, godliness without contentment is a great loss. Mm. And there's something that you can be a generally godly person, but if there isn't the contentment shaping your life that's described in this passage and in the context around it, like, there's a real loss spiritually that's happening and a loss kingdom-wise that's happening. Mm-hmm.
So, Brandon, what you're saying is they work hand in hand with each other. Separated, they don't do much good.
Oh, godliness and contentment?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really makes sense. You know what I'm thinking about? Paul was the one that wrote this, and I can't help but think about where he said in Philippians 4:11, he says, he's talking about his life. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I think that the only way we can really have that contentment is with our eyes fixed on Christ. Because if they're not, we can easily get them fixed on the election and what's transpired. We can get them fixed on so tightly on our finances, our families, whatever it be. But when they're fixed on Christ, He, by His Holy Spirit, gives us that sense of contentment to walk us through and say, you know what? I've got this. I'm going to help you through.
That's really good. It's like that deep-seated trust that Amen. He's taking care of me.
Amen.
Yeah, that's so good.
He's contrasting in verse 6 here from verse 5 these people who suppose that godliness is a means of gain.
Mm-hmm.
So, godliness, but discontent because they're just wanting to gain more and more and more. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think of that prosperity gospel video we just watched.
Mm-hmm.
Godliness as a means of gain,
mm-hmm.
which is very prevalent. Mm-hmm. But this person here in verse 6, that godliness with contentment is a great gain. So, godliness not as a means to gain physical things, but as a means to gain what is not of this world, as in verse, because in verse 7,
yes.
Nothing in this world will last. We brought nothing into it. We can't take anything out of it. So the gain comes when we gain what does last.
Amen.
Yeah, so we came in our birthday suit and we're going to leave in it.
Here's an interesting thought. I was meditating on this with Karin, and, you know, I thought, yeah, you're going to leave the same way you came. Like, well, you're going to gain more, though, because you'll maybe have burial clothes that you're buried in. But then I thought about it some more, and I thought, like, no, actually, we are leaving with less. Then we come in with this naked baby body, and but we leave without our physical bodies. Like, our spirits go to be immediately in the presence of the Lord. So we are even shedding our bodies. So we're actually leaving with less than we came in with. So it just emphasizes the point even more. We are not, we cannot bring things with us. We will get our bodies back, you guys.
Glorify
God. Whoa.
So as I'm looking at verse 6, godliness with contentment, I can't help but look back at verse 4 where it talks about being obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, over every little detail, but yet to be content in faith that Christ is who He says He is.
Hmm.
And that He came and He died on the cross, He rose on the third day, and for our salvation. To be content in that faith that He is who He says He is. And yes, there's going to be some finite details that we can't explain, but yet we know that the Father is the truth, Christ is the Word, and through the Spirit it's all been revealed to us, that we're content.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to add a little bit on to what Jake did. He kind of beat me to the punch, but I was looking at the word gain, the gain is spiritual. If we're focused on the kingdom, we're going to have great gain, right? If we're focused on this world, chasing after money and possessions, we're going to lose all that for the kingdom. So I think that's what the great gain is. That's kind of the way I see it.
To live as Christ, to die as gain.
What is the opposite of what it would seem to be to the physical eyes of people watching? Like, there's no great, that's not great gain. The great gain is to get rich, right? And this, speaking of contentment, it just reminds me, one thing that struck me when we went through contentment in Sunday school was that contentment is underneath, is like the second level, the second layer foundation beneath all of our sin. Like, you have pride on the very bottom. All our sin, you know, comes from pride. And contentment is right above it, where we look at all these things we could do. There is discontentment, like impatience. Discontentment all these sins, like impatience, discontent with time, envy, discontent with what I have, anger, discontent with God's justice, you know, things like that. It's it is powerful to think about how discontentment lies underneath a lot of our sin.
And that discontentment, too, I think it does challenge us in this present context here in 1 Timothy 6 that, you know, well, what are we supposed to be content with, Paul? And he answers us in verse 8. He says, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. You know, we live in Minnesota, so maybe we can make an argument for housing, you know. But, you know, that basic, those basic necessities of food and drink and shelter and clothing, you know, these basic things, with these we will be content. And I think it's good for us to just not brush over that, but actually look at it and go, am I content with the basic necessities of life? Or is there such an insatiable craving and a sense of entitlement that I'm entitled to more? He gives us, Paul says in the same letter, like, he gives us good things to enjoy. But there's a great danger with the discontent is warped desires that have to express themselves by accumulating more and more and more in terms of money and possessions. It just continues to fuel that discontent.
It definitely seems like in context of this text that Paul is talking about contentment also, earthly.
Material possessions and
things.
And
that money. Comfort. What, you know, house, home, food, clothing, shelter.
And even Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be in want and steal and profane your name, or lest I have in plenty and forget you.
And Bobby, were you reading before in Philippians 4?
Yes.
What were you saying? I learned?
Yeah, I've learned the secret of being content.
And what was the secret, right? Power? Power from Christ to be content, right?
That Holy Spirit burning in our hearts, huh?
Yeah, and just reading from the end of the chapter, verses 17 and following, you know, because earlier I talked about the love of money, that it just causes so much damage in life, and it's the roots of all kinds of evil. And so verses 17 through 19, I want to read, though. It says, as for the rich in this present age, which I think all of us would be in that category, including all of our hearers, most likely, charge them, the rich in this age, not to be haughty, prideful, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life, the gain you were talking about, John. And so, And one of the ways I think we can tell that we're truly content is if we are able to enjoy good gifts in life and our enjoyment of it overflows into a desire for other people to enjoy God more.
That's like, right.
So we're going to overflow the banks and we're going to actually find as much joy in giving than in receiving. May God, that's a work of grace in the heart.
Yes, it is.
You know, for us, just, and that, I think that deep longing for us to be rich toward God and not just keep accumulating. And I think there's a lot of practical things a Christian should wrestle with. Like, okay, I have a certain salary, you know, for many, I think there would be a ton of wisdom in capping it. and then finding creative ways to invest the rest in the kingdom very directly. You know, instead of thinking our lifestyle has to match the accumulation, the blessing that we're seeing. We're blessed so that we can bless other people. There's something hard to think about there.
And that doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally.
For real.
You know, we'd like to go it on our own, but God says you can't do it on your own. You need me to help you.
Yeah.
That contentment comes by reaching for His hand because He's already reaching toward us to guide us and direct us.
In this past week, a song that's been just churning through my mind, just for one line, it says, He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small.
Mm.
To me, that's the other side of contentment, the spiritual contentment.
Can I pray, brothers?
Yes.
Lord, thank you for this time to meditate on your word. We thank you for how it's a light into our paths, a lamp into our feet, and a light into our path. And we thank you for what you teach us about contentment here, Lord, because we know that it's very dangerous to be discontent. Mm. It's very dangerous to have a love of money and to have warped desires and let them pull us away from you into idolatry. Lord, we want to be near you. We want to be close to you. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be wise about where we put our treasure, because we know that where we put our treasure, we put our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray for grace on us as leaders to be an example of not loving money, but loving your glory and your people and wanting to be generous with what you've entrusted to us. And we pray that for our people, Lord, that we at FBC would be known, that people would look at us in our detachment to things and be able to see where our hope is, and that they want to ask about the reason for the hope that is in us. And Lord, I pray that you would, grant us grace to couple contentment with godliness, growing godliness in our lives. I pray that whatever season we're in and circumstances we're in, we would recognize how secure we are in you. And that the more secure we feel, Lord, we know the more generous we're going to be. And so we pray, God, that you would increase our sense of security in you and what you've done for us in Christ. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you bless your people and bless us so that we can be a blessing, Lord. May the blessings not stop there. Help us not to be a dam stopping up the blessing flow, but help us to be a channel of those blessings to others, to be rich in good works, to be rich toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I need to get the food out.